You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the draft, play the draft with the Cleveland Browns for your chance to win incredible prizes. Play the Draft is a new free fantasy NFL draft game. We heard Mel Kiper talking about it when he joined us. He loves it. You'll love it too. The first contest is live right now. Sign up at clevelandbrowns.com today. Play the draft. It's a lot of fun. Are you the smartest draft expert in the world? Prove it. Play the draft. clevelandbrowns.com. Sign up today. Bringing in now our good friend from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram, Scott Petrak. Scott, welcome aboard. Sorry about the snow in Cleveland, but let's talk about something that's a little bit brighter, and that is hopefully the future of the Cleveland Browns. The topic today, how would you grade the offseason and the job Ray Farmer and company have done thus far? So, Scott, what's your grade?
Yeah, are we starting with Ray Farmer? I mean, this is after the Chud.
We'll start just Ray Farmer.
Then I'm going to go B.
Okay.
I like a lot of stuff that he's done. I don't have many complaints. Obviously, I think the reason it's not a little higher is I think they still need another cornerback.
Yep.
And you haven't addressed the quarterback spot yet. I'm fine with Brian Hoyer if he's your starter, but they need to add probably a veteran, and then let's see what he does in the draft. But to this point, I think it's been really solid, and obviously keeping Alex Mack plays a lot into that.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And in my mind, and I'd like to get your take on this, Scott, is how do you weigh the Alex Mack, the handling of it, and what it ultimately means to this team, say, compared to the other moves that have been made? It's my contention that that one makes the loudest statement, and that one is the one that maybe sets a bigger tone for the whole organization going forward than almost anything else they've done.
Yeah, and no, I agree with that, Vic. I think heading into free agency a little over a month ago, keeping Alex Mack was, in my mind, the number one priority. And all those other guys, while I think they were good pieces, I don't think they play as big a role as Alex Mack will in 2014 and 2015. And not only that, like you mentioned, I think it sets a good tone because this franchise can't afford to lose its good players, especially the players that it drafts and grooms. There just haven't been enough of them over the last decade. So if you get a guy like Alex Mack, a two-time Pro Bowler, it's imperative that you're able to keep him. And that's what the good teams in this league do. They keep their own talent, and then they draft well, and they keep keeping their own talent. And you see the Packers and the Steelers, they don't make huge splashes in free agency because they draft so well and they keep those guys. So the ability of Ray Farmer to do that, I think, is huge. Now, I don't know if, you know, I thought maybe putting a franchise tag on him would have been a better idea because it guaranteed that he was going to stay. But the way it worked out, I don't think it could have worked out any better for the Browns. So therefore, it looks like Ray Farmer had the right plan the whole time.
It certainly does. And I like that you brought up the cornerback thing as being one of the few areas that you still want to see addressed, because I agree with that. And I think that could be one of the first two picks, certainly one of the first three picks in this draft for the Cleveland Browns. What are the other areas, excluding quarterback, that you want to see in the come out of the maybe the first five picks in this draft, Scott?
Yeah, I'd like to see another receiver. You know, I don't know if it needs to be at four with Sammy Watkins, if he's even there. I think you need at least one more receiver. I think another lineman, maybe a guy that can compete at right tackle or another guy that can compete in the guard. I think there's a lot of bodies there, and if they didn't add, you know, if they don't find a starter in the draft, I think they'd be okay. But I think adding another body relatively high would be good. And inside linebacker, you know, Craig Robertson played okay last year. You know, I liked the Dansby pickup. But I think if you brought another guy in, and it could be high, it could be 26 or 35, depending on who those guys are, available to compete with Craig Robertson, you could take a big step there if you get the right guy. So those are the positions that jump out. I mean, you know, when you go back to cornerback for a second, you know, I don't think there's one you can take it for, but if the board falls the right way or the Browns get the right offer and they're able to slide back to 8 or 10, and all of a sudden maybe you get the top cornerback, I would not be adverse to that at all because I think that's a critical position and one of those that I'd like to address high in the draft.
Scott Petrak, the Elyria Chronicle Telegram, joins us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Scott, as you look at some of the strategy behind this, and one of the things we've been talking about a lot on this show is that none of us, or neither of us, would be surprised if this team made some deals and tried to, in fact, enhance the number of picks it has by getting someone who is convinced that that, quote, future Hall of Famer resides somewhere in the top five, and that that future Hall of Famer might not necessarily be a quarterback, and that the Browns enhance their total assets, get more picks to move down. And I don't know how far they move down, but somewhere maybe in that middle reach, middle area of the first round, to go after Mr. Quarterback or go after wide receiver, plus they can address the O-line, plus they can address corner, basically can assure themselves of hitting every key need in this draft by maneuvering that way.
Yeah, and I think there's reasons to believe that that's a viable alternative for these guys. Number one, I think if you're a rookie GM, maybe you're more apt to play it safe. I'm not saying Ray Farmer will, but I think trading down and accumulating more picks is something that appeals to a first-time GM. You know, I mean, we saw Tom Hecker do it early in his tenure here. We saw Eric Mangini do it in his first draft by acquiring more picks. I think you like the idea of infusing a lot of volume of talent as opposed to one guy. I think if you don't love the quarterbacks, which more and more I think about it, I don't love the quarterbacks at the top of the draft, and you aren't convinced that Sammy Watkins is the next Calvin Johnson because maybe he's not tall enough, then maybe there's not that guy you love it for, which makes the trade back even more appealing. So I think there's a lot of reasons to think that that's a alternative that Ray Farmer will consider, and if he gets a chance, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And then all of a sudden, when we're done with Friday and there's two or three rounds of the draft and the Browns have five potential starters, I think Ray Farmer go, okay, I did that, and I added nine guys in free agency. We should be able to make a pretty big jump in my first year.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think a trade down, knowing that there are teams that are going to want to come up. I think if Khalil Mack is on the board at four and the Browns don't want to take him, there's going to be a team, maybe Atlanta, you could get to move up from six to four, pick something up, pick up another asset in the draft, still get the guy that maybe you wanted at four all along, and have it work out that way. I think there will be options. I think Mike Evans is becoming a hotter and hotter name, and if Watkins is gone, you could see teams like Tampa Bay and Detroit want to come up to four for a guy like Mike Evans. So I think you're right. I think there are certainly a lot of opportunities for this team to trade down, and when you look at this draft in particular, if you're able to trade down and pick up another early, say, second-round pick, so you'd have two firsts, two seconds, and two thirds, you have the opportunity to basically get what would amount to four first-round picks most seasons, and that means you're going to get, even if you do what is typically the average of 50% hit rate, you're going to be adding, you know, three quality players in the first three rounds, which is a great, great thing.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right about Atlanta. That's a team I would most definitely keep an eye on. And one of the things Ray Farmer did in free agency, and it was a conscious effort, and I know that he and Mike Pettin, that was one of their goals, is to give themselves flexibility when it came to the draft. So they didn't feel forced to take a receiver for it. Didn't force to take a lineman at four, which I think was critical in keeping Alex Mack, because then you don't feel that pressure. You need to add another stud offensive lineman. So by giving themselves that flexibility with the Nate Burlesons and the Dansbys and by re-signing Mack, I think that allows them to move down if they feel the need, because they aren't forced to take a Watkins or a Robinson or even a Khalil Mack, because they have guys at that position from last year, you know, Mingo and Kruger and Sheard. It gives them the flexibility to say, you know, we don't have to force it here, and we can look big picture, a little long term, but big picture, and say we can stockpile, which I think any GM would like to do, especially a first-time guy. And I think there are going to be a few guys. It just sets the far right. I mean, you never know, you know, if we assume nobody wants a quarterback that high or nobody's going to move up, it has to be the right guy. And if it's, you know, Clowney, if Clowney somehow managed to get the four, which I don't think he will, I think teams will be scrambling to get up. And the same with Watkins and maybe even Evans. You know, you mentioned Evans, and I think he's a guy that people were sleeping on early in the draft, and all of a sudden he's a guy that definitely could sneak into that top five.
Scott, if you are of the mindset, you agree with this, that there are a lot of questions about these quarterbacks, and that, you know, maybe there is no real consensus of who the best guy is, and people are all over the lot. If you're aboard with that idea, and then also the idea that the Browns do need someone to compete with Brian Hoyer from this draft, that they can't possibly come out of this draft without a guy. If you're with those two, with that premise, how tough then is it to figure this out for the Browns? How much of a challenge when the need is there, but the question marks are so glaring with really all of these guys?
Oh, no, it's really hard. I think The only thing that makes it more palatable is if you say they don't have a separation on maybe that second tier guy. If they like a Garoppolo and you can include Mettenberger and maybe even a McCarron in that group, you know, I assume Derek Carr is a little above that. If there's a group of four or five guys that they say, okay, if we get them between at 35 or maybe we pick up another second-round pick, if we can get one of those guys in that ballpark of draft picks, then we'll be okay with it. And if they have three guys, then I think you can feel relatively comfortable that one of those guys will be there. And if you walk away with that guy on May 9th, then you're okay. We're okay. We like Brian Hoyer to start the season, but this guy gives us a chance. And if he blows us away like Russell Wilson blew the Seahawks away, we can start him. If not, we can sit him for a year and see if he winds up being that long-term guy. The problem with that is quarterbacks are so hard to evaluate that I'm not sure that they would like three guys in the second round. If they only like one, then do you feel the pressure to take him at 35 or even the pressure to take him at 26 just to make sure you have that guy? And with that position, I'm fine with that. I don't like the idea of forcing it to number four. I really don't. But I'd be okay even taking one at 26 that you wanted to make sure you got, or even moving up from 26. See, Derek Carr, you're afraid he's going to be gone by 26, but you think you can get him at 16. I'd be okay moving up to get him there because I think that position is so important that if you like that guy enough, you might as well go get him.
And one of the things I think that's also good right now is we've seen Zach Mettenberger come back from his ACL. He threw the ball well. I saw the video of Aaron Murray 5 months removed right from his ACL. He's throwing the ball and moving around very well. So that just adds two more guys that I think, had they not gotten injured, would have been kind of in this discussion for the first, second round. Add some more guys to the mix. And you don't have to rush them because you do have Brian Hoyer. You do have the luxury of at least knowing, hey, if we had to start Brian Hoyer, it's not that bad. That's not so bad. The guy should be in the competition anyway. Somebody that right now is taking charge, taking leadership in these offseason workouts. So I think the Browns are actually in a good position and have a lot of flexibility at the quarterback position. If there is a conviction that they want a guy early, maybe you trade back and take him. Maybe you trade up, as you said, to take him in that first round, or you see how it plays out and go with one of the later guys and continue to assemble a team around the quarterback that is going to be able to win. And in my mind, making a move, making sure you match and retain Alex Mack, bringing in McQuiston, bringing in Chris Presley to play fullback, says, listen, we are going to be able to run the football. This is not going to be all on our quarterback shoulders in 2014 as it was in many ways, shape, and form in 2013.
Yeah, and those two guys you mentioned, Mettenberger and Murray, are two guys that I liked. You know, you watch them on Saturdays and you like both those guys, and I think they're real possibilities. You know, I don't know where they fall. I don't know if it's high second, if you can maybe sneak Murray into that third round. But two guys I like and two guys that make the class deeper. But you're right. You know, we talked to Mike Patton at the Combine and Ray Farmer at the Combine, and it was obvious to me that they did not want to put everything on the quarterback's shoulders. I don't care if it's a veteran or a rookie.
Sure.
They like the idea of having that well-balanced team, the team that's not going to rely on their quarterback to complete 35 balls every Sunday and throw for 350 yards. And you can do that. You can have that kind of team if you have Aaron Rodgers. But if you don't, you have to have the balanced team like the Seahawks do and like other teams do. And that's how they want to build their team. And I think it's obvious through the offseason. It's obvious with the way Mike Pettine talks about the kind of team he wants. So I think Brian Hoyer is a perfect fit for that kind of offense. He showed in his limited time that he can make the big throws in the fourth quarter. And that's the critical thing for a quarterback in this league. If you can get the guy to do that, make the big plays in the fourth quarter, you got a chance to win a lot of games, and that's what the Browns have been missing. They've been in a lot of games in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years. You just haven't made enough plays in the fourth quarter, and that comes down to the quarterback more times than not.
Scott, tremendous. Thank you for your time, my friend.
Hey, thanks, fellas.
Scott Petrak, Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are just getting rolling. We've got a lot for you in hour number two. We are going to, at the top of this hour, do our usual blitz thing that we like to do on Tuesdays, where we go to the hotter stories around the National Football League. In this case, we're going to talk about San Francisco, where, yeah, the 49ers have had some off-field issues. Eric Branch from the San Francisco Chronicle is going to join us to talk about that. And then we'll hit up the Buffalo Bills, their ownership search for their future owner.
The Donald.
Very interesting story. Donald Trump among the names being mentioned. And, man, it's a daily exercise for me, too, with all my folks back there talking with me about this Buffalo situation. So, interesting stuff. And then we're going to hear from Kevin Jones at 2:30, staff writer for Cleveland Browns NFL.com wrote a very interesting piece about Mike Pettine Sr., the head coach's dad, who is also a coach himself at the high school level, and his influence on this entire Browns coaching staff. All of that and much, much more. He is Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. We are driven by Liberty Ford.